I'm going to pick your brain because I know at least the GI students had on Wednesday had a wonderful little skit that the fifth graders presented on the Immaculate Conception. So who can tell me anything about the Immaculate Conception? Okay. Okay, so God making Mary with no original sin, okay? Anyone else want to add something else? Okay, you know, you're above a lot of people because there's, I know I'm kind of going to sound a little funny, but I'm doing it not purposely, but there's this misconception that the Immaculate Conception is not about Mary, but about Jesus. And part of it is because of the gospel reading we have. And because that's the Annunciation, and that's when Jesus comes into the womb of Mary. And I think a lot of it is just, we're just not aware. But what we really celebrate today was defined as a dogma of the church in 1854, so not that long ago for being, that's only 163 years ago, if those that are counting and quick with math. That's not too long ago, is it? In the grand scheme of things, when you think 2,000 years since Jesus. But from that very first time of the apostles, they knew there was something different about Mary. There had to be something different, and the church fathers, the theologians of the early church, racked their brains, and how is it? How is it? And even St. Thomas Aquinas, who was probably one of the most brilliant theologians the church has ever seen, said, I don't know how this could happen. I don't know. He said, well, somehow Mary had to be saved from original sin, but how this happened, he didn't have any clue. And there was a man called Duns Scotus. Now, I don't want you to be calling each other this name, but for those that are curious of trivia, Duns, D-U-N-S, became a slur, a name that people called each other. They called them dunces because they thought he was wrong about this. But he said, there's two ways in which we can be saved. And so I'm gonna do another little skit. If I can have two volunteers. Okay. I'll take one and two. Okay, come up here. And we're going to pretend I have a piece of candy, right? So I'm going to give you a piece of candy. And what do you do with candy? Okay, so go ahead and pretend you're going to eat it. And I'm going to give you a piece. Oh, you know what? That candy was poisonous. So I'm not going to give you that candy, and luckily I have the antidote. You want the antidote? Okay, you better take that, otherwise you're going to die, right? Okay, now which one did I save? But what about her? I saved both. You can go ahead and sit down. There's two ways in which we can be saved, right? One is the antidote. The other is not allowing the person to take the poison in the first place, right? And so when it comes to original sin, God gives us the antidote. Who's the antidote? Jesus. You knew it right as soon as I said who, right? Jesus is the antidote, right? Jesus on the cross gives us the antidote to the poison of sin, the poison of original sin. And I use that word purposely. When we're baptized, we use that phrase, to be kept safe from the poison of sin, to grow always stronger in our hearts, that faith alive in us. But Mary, there's something about Mary. Did Mary need an antidote? It doesn't seem like she did. Otherwise, how could she be a perfect vessel for Jesus, right? So how did God save Mary? From the very first moment of her conception, God preserved her by a unique and singular grace, the church tells us. That God would apply the grace, the antidote that was going to be received on the cross, some 40 years later, that God would preserve her from that first moment, that she wouldn't even need the antidote because God didn't let original sin even touch her. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Does that set Mary above us? Kind of, but not really, does it? Because did she need a Savior? Did Mary need a Savior? Yes, because the only way she was saved was that Christ on the cross saved her. Now, if you think about that too much, you can find yourself, you know, you've seen that commercial where the little puff of smoke goes, poof. That's the way our minds go. What if Mary had said no in today's gospel? What if Mary said, no, you know what, you're asking too much of me, God. I can't be the mother of God. It's just too hard. What would have happened had Mary said no? Anyone want to play a game? Jesus wouldn't have been born, or certainly not through her. And then would she have been saved from original sin? No. So Mary needed a Savior too, right? But God, knowing that she was going to be able to say yes, gave her the grace of the Savior from the very first moment of her life so that she could bring forth a Savior for us. What does this mean for us? That's always the question, right? How many of us need a Savior? Sudden onset of arthritis for a lot of our adults again. We all need a Savior, right? Because how many of us are born into original sin? Yeah, there's only been four people who, from the very first moments of their lives, did not have original sin. Can you name them?
Mary.
Mary? Well, okay, somebody else, but do you know another one? Okay. Not Mary's mother, no. Eve? Adam? Jesus. Jesus by his nature, Mary by God's grace, and Adam and Eve, because that's how God created them. What happened, we hear that in today's first reading. The serpent comes along, and did God really say that to you? Did God really tell you not to eat the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil? Ah, he's lying to you. You can't trust God. He just doesn't want you to become like him. And so original sin enters the world. And we're born into that original sin. All of us then. All of us are born into that original sin, that brokenness that causes us to not be able to think of God and think holy things, not able to study as well. You know, talk about being students, right? It causes us to be sick. It causes us to die. It causes us to desire to sin. It causes all sorts of brokenness in us. And we need a Savior to help us with all of that. And so Mary becomes the example of how we are to be, because she's freed from original sin. And she's fully human. Well, Jesus is fully human too, right? But Jesus was fully God. So Mary, fully human, not fully God, not God at all, reminds us of how we are to be. So what are some qualities of Mary? Because of her original, or from, because she was preserved because of her immaculate conception from original sin. What are some qualities of Mary that we should follow this day, maybe? Say yes to God. Being more kind, listening to God's call, being helpful, listening, pure, all these are so good. Being kind, try not to, see, Mary didn't even have to try not to sin because she was so freed. But for us, We have to try to not sin and accept God's grace that we have in baptism, that we have because of Jesus, right? Cheerful, nice, peaceful. One more. Not whiny. You're not whiny, are you? No. All these things. Mary not complaining, that's what you mean, right? Or did you mean, I don't want to? I'm a really good whiner. Mary did not complain, and in fact, today, this is what I like about this gospel passage, and this is why the church gives it to us. It's not about the conception that we're celebrating today, but it's the effects of that conception. Can you imagine having an angel appear to you and telling you you're going to do something very, very big, very important for God? And Mary just asks, how? She doesn't ask why. She doesn't ask I don't have the strength. She just asks, how is this to be? And then what does she say? Let it be done to me according to your word. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. I think those are beautiful words for all of us to reflect on. And as we celebrate the Immaculate Conception, that we would ask Mary to help us to be like her. That she, from the first moment of her conception, but us from our baptism, from our acceptance of Jesus, her Son, our Savior.